What's up? He's okay?
Dennis said his first word.
He did?
Come on, honey. Say it again.
Blah, blah, blah.
I don't say blah, blah, blah.
We didn't say you did.
Bloodlusty people.
I like that.
What's the name of that movie with Adam Sandler?
Hotel Transylvania.
Hotel Transylvania.
I like that.
Yeah.
For the kids out there that are listening.
Yes.
See? We, you know.
We're hip. We're cool.
Exactly.
By the way.
We hit everybody.
Cool. By the way, this is D-Mates, Vingan, and Donick on 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. The reason why we're talking about vampires is because all of you are thirsting for blood. Brian Callahan's blood, to be exact. And there's only so much blood to go around. There's only one Brian Callahan. Well, actually, there's two, because isn't the coach of Nashville SC also a Brian Callahan?
That is very true. Oh,
different spelling. But there are two coaches in town named Brian Callahan. So I guess there's more than enough Brian Callahan blood to go around.
Yeah. Assuming they're not vampires, exactly. Because vampires do not have blood, right?
Yeah, they don't.
They drink
now, blood. Wouldn't that just change everything if Brian Callahan, the Titans coach, was indeed a vampire?
Would people respect Brian Callahan if he was a vampire, though?
Mm.
I think they would.
Well, they would be playing all night games, right?
I think
that's
fans
true.
Fair,
yeah.
Fair. You could.
I wouldn't
play.
Go to a game. Then.
That's one clue that he is not a vampire because they have
because,
a new game.
Because you can't draft your way into prime time.
They told you that already,
Mike North. Oh man. Anyway, let's get back to the conversation about Brian Callahan. Here's how we started the show. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It seems that a lot of you want the Titans to just cut to the chase and cut bait with Brian Callahan as the head coach. But what would that accomplish right now? 615-737-1025. Greg on our text line corrects me. BJ Callahan is the Nashville SC coach.
His name is Brian, though.
His name is Brian. Okay, so take that, Greg. Don't come and correct me when I'm right.
You don't want Adam's wrath.
No.
Chris Sanders faced a lot of that yesterday.
Oh, he did. Big time.
Man, he did.
He had a chip on his shoulder.
Exactly, man.
He was tough.
I stayed far away.
Here's my list. Bill Belichick, Chris Sanders, Greg.
Greg on the text line.
You
Greg,
have made the list.
Greg Roberts on our text line. To borrow an old gimmick, you just made the list.
Yes.
Greg Roberts. So here's the thing, too. The Titans, unlike last season, from the moment training camp started, and even before that, were preaching patience. Remember that. We commended the Titans for having the right kind of messaging this season. They weren't pretending that, hey, we could be competitive if the ball bounces our way. They were honest about where this team is. So why would that change after two games? So that's just my point. Chase just texted me and said, Adam is feisty today. What is going on? That's
wow, Adam. Everybody's picking up on it, man. The vibe.
Here's the thing, okay? I am, by nature, a mild-mannered, non-confrontational human being. But don't piss me off!
Don't get them all riled up.
Yes.
Come on.
You won't like me when I'm angry. I've heard that before. So, yes, I do get a little feisty from time to time. It's just, you know, it's just that kind of day. Let's go to Howie from Milwaukee on our phone line. Get us back on track. Howie, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Man, thank you so much, man. I like the word bloodlust. There is a bloodlust. I am hungry. We need someone to throw on the chopping block. And I believe that it is a coaching issue. Basically, Ridley, $90 million. Lockett, he has some juice. And the rookie receivers are showing promise, you know, DK and Io Manor in the last game. They're showing they have good stuff. But from first game to second, what I saw was Cam Ward coaching up the receivers. I saw them throwing a screen to nobody. And I think that's a coaching issue. And maybe the bloodlust should not be Brian Callahan, but who's the receivers coach? Maybe you should drag him out and give him the business. That's my thoughts. What are your thoughts on that? Thanks, guys.
Thank you for the call, Howie. And before we answer Howie's question, mm-hmm. Greg Roberts stepped in it again. He sent us a screenshot. Nashville Soccer Club appoints U.S. men's national team assistant coach B.J. Callahan as head coach. Greg, B.J. stands for Brian Joseph. His name is Brian Callahan.
Brian Joseph the second.
Okay, let me rework my list. Bill Belichick, Greg, Chris Anders. Greg, you're moving up the list, buddy.
Oh, my goodness.
If you surpass Bill Belichick, woo!
Man.
It's been a bad day for Greg.
I didn't think that was possible. Don't test me, Greg. Don't test me. But this reminds me, before we get to that, let's answer Howie's question. I don't think firing the receivers coach mm-hmm. is enough to satisfy the bloodlust.
No.
Yes.
Firing an assistant coach does not satisfy the bloodlust. I think you...
I guess I would go back to what happened. I thought that it was fairly unchallenged. Maybe I'm completely wrong. That it is best in principle to stick it out with your coach and your quarterback as they mature. Did the consensus agree with that? Because it seems like there's been a pretty big shift if there is a significant movement of Callahan needs to go. Now, I think there's a lot of Callahan low on the confidence meter. I don't know if anybody's really advocating to make a switch right now. Is anybody really doing that? Or is it more of a vote of no confidence right now? That, hey, I'm looking on the horizon and I don't see in the future Brian Callahan being part of it. Is that more accurate to say? And because even if you're saying that, I'm asking the question, where did the patience go? Because the patience has gone out the window after two losses against, we think, two pretty good teams. At least two pretty good defense.
This is how I sum it up. This is not how I think about it. But this is how I sum it up. Is that to them, he was a bad coach last year. Things didn't go his way. Didn't develop the quarterback. This year has given them nothing to say, well, he may be the guy. That's what it is. You haven't given me anything to say you are the head coach of the future. So it's not about, it's not necessarily that now they're just bloodthirsty and bloodlust. It's that they've been that way the whole time. But they want you to try to show them, give me some serum. Give me the serum and try to get me out of this bloodlust. But you haven't done it, so I'm going to keep on lusting for your blood. You know, it's as simple as that, you know, in vampire terms. Tell y'all watch too many vampire movies. But that's what it is. He hasn't gained the confidence of a fan base that their confidence meter was already low in you. You haven't done anything to raise that level up. They were already, if you want to say they were already bloodthirsty, well, you haven't given them anything to stop that.
You're right. Because, and you could make the argument that the minute that they fired Rand Carthon and didn't fire the coach,
exactly,
that from that moment on, the bloodlust thing was beginning. He was already being sort of,
because they thought he was going with the GM.
That's the next target.
He's going to
be the next scapegoat. Yes. So that's bloodlust. I agree.
Dave in Kentucky, you were wondering, you were hoping for some people to explain why
they want
Brian Callahan out
And
right
we've been
now.
To now four states. We've been to Milwaukee. We've been to Iowa. Wisconsin, Iowa, and now Kentucky.
Yes, and of course.
In addition to Tennessee.
And of course, Tennessee.
We're a four-state show.
We are. Dave in Kentucky
four
says,
states of blood.
Give it to me.
The Brian Callahan blood drive? Should we start that? The Brian Callahan blood drive?
Oh, well, no. Oh, okay. Let's stop that. I got some in my head already. Okay. My mind is running right now, but go ahead.
Okay. Also, okay, I can't keep arguing with Greg about the other Brian
No,
Callahan.
Let Greg go, okay?
Okay.
Stop it, Adam. I'm going to take the computer away from you.
Greg, you are nearing Bill Belichick level, my friend. That's
he wants to do that.
Now he wants it.
He wants it.
Dave in Kentucky says, Callie needs to go now because every Sunday when we watch football, all of the good teams in the NFL look like they are playing a different sport than the Titans. He looks lost and completely in over his head.
okay, I know the deal with the rule, and I know the deal with the clock management at the end of the first half. Mm-hmm. Other than those two things, do we really? I mean, it doesn't every coach who is on a struggling team have a lot of moments where it doesn't look good?
Yes, they do. But because as many people that we've had either call or text that are out or close to being out on Brian Callahan, they always point to the things that happened last year and obviously the one thing that happened this year. We could have did that same thing about Mike Vrabel his first year, you know, because Mike Vrabel had some gaffes his first year. And he came back, and obviously he was a much better coach.
I think
coach
he lost
forward.
His first six or seven challenges, I think.
Yeah, so he learned from that, and he moved forward. I look at Brian Callahan. You're hoping that what the things that he did last year, he learns from them. Now, again, goes back to what I said. They were already out on him, and then you do that on, you know, when you're backed up on your own five-yard line, seven-yard line, going into half, and you do something like that, you think they're going to change? They're going to get worse, if anything.
I guess I continue to fall back on, look, I'm not saying Brian Callahan is the next great coach in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. But I am going to err by giving him the benefit of the doubt because I know the repercussions, they are well chronicled, when you pull the plug on a coach, on an offense, and you throw a completely different language at a young quarterback. So I'm going to give him some more runway than David in Kentucky will, because that is part of the deal. When you change the coach, you're going to change the offense. You're going to make it even tougher on Cam Ward. So that is why I philosophically am staying with Brian. It's not like I can tell you he's a great coach or not. Mm-hmm. I've got my questions about that, but I'm going to give it a little more time.
Justin in Greenbrier says, talent might be a large part of the Titans' woes, but the coach has to look confident and coach like he has a winning roster. He should try things to get this roster that he has to the next level. I am not seeing this on game day. He is not using some of the talent that he has, and his play calling seems way too safe, and his game plan seems more like trying not to lose instead of coaching like you have nothing to lose.
Well, I think the safe part comes from he is trying to be safe. He's trying to protect his quarterback. That's my quarterback, man. That's my quarterback.
All right, T.O.
T.O. But yeah, I get it. You know, you want your play caller to be a little bit more aggressive than what he has been. And sometimes he has, and it has bit him in the rear end. And then other times he hasn't, and it worked out like the last game where, you know, they were being conservative and they got the field goal going into half. He didn't try to press it. He didn't try to create a play. No, he said, we're going to run the ball, boom, 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 put our kicker in position and kick a field goal because he can kick a long field goal. So I'm going to do that. I feel better going into the half with 3 points rather than, you know, the debacle that happened last week, well, 2 weeks ago.
Bob in Mount Juliet says, ask Willie this question. If Callahan wasn't already the coach, knowing what you know of him now, would you want to hire him to be the coach? Of course not. Bob answering his own question, but he wants you to answer that question too.
I would counter with, could anybody pick whoever you put as a legendary coach in there, Vince Lombardi, let's just use that coach, could he have coached this group to much better than they've done? Maybe a game or two? I would contend that their roster last year and this year is the glaring, glaring problem.
I would argue.
And Brian Callahan was among the top candidates up for head coaching jobs 2 years ago. The Titans were lauded for jumping out there, making the bold decision to fire Vrabel, which I'm not sure I was really in favor of. And they were ahead of the process of other teams with the interviews and things like that, and they were able to go get Callahan, and that was pretty well praised around the league, as I remember.
I would argue that the Titans offense, perhaps the entire Titans roster, but I'll just stick to the offense. I would argue that the Titans offense has the least imposing collection of players in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Tony Pollard is a solid running back. Calvin Ridley can be a solid receiver when he's not dropping the ball. Elijah Manner, he's stood out through two games, but he's an unknown commodity. There's only so much you can squeeze out of that group. That's the point I was making earlier. One texter brought up the question I asked earlier was, can elite talent overcome mediocre coaching? One texter, it might have been Skyler. It was Skyler because he just texted back in and it refreshed to the top of the list. Skyler on our text line says, is Nick Sirianni a good coach or does he just have the best roster in the NFL?
Obviously, you have to be a good coach to win big. But yes, I do think he has a very good roster, a very, very well-crafted roster, in a unique situation where they got a second-round pick as a quarterback who turned into being a pretty special quarterback, right? And they made a very smart move to get Saquon Barkley on top of a team that was already good, a great example of taking a team that was already good that was, quote, maybe one player away, and they got the one player. Like, that is a textbook roster development thing. And Sirianni, who they were on the verge of wanting out of, mm-hmm. of Philadelphia not that long ago, after the collapse that they had 2 years ago, remember, mm-hmm. I think he's a good coach.
Again, that's why it's not just black and white, because you have a talented roster and you have a not great coach. He's not a bad coach, but he's not a great coach. And he's been able to take that team to a Super Bowl because it's a combination of both. A good coach with a good roster. Is he a great coach? No. Is he a bad coach? No. I don't think the bad coaches show themselves. And that's why people are looking at Brian Callahan and say, well, he's showing himself to be a bad coach in the last year, well, season and two games. That's what they're looking at. He hasn't shown them anything consistently that says, you know, because even when he calls the right play, it doesn't work, you know, because people are not looking at it in a 3D sort of terms. They're not looking at the three levels that goes with coaching, you know, the offensive line, the intermediate routes, and then the deep routes, the receivers, and the tight ends. You're not looking at it from a 3D sort of type of view. You're just looking at it as he's calling the plays. They're not working, so he's not a good coach. Well, rewind it a little bit. Take it frame by frame. Look at the coaching. Look at the play. Match it to the players, what they're doing out there on the field, the route combination. And then when you see another team run it, you're like, man, they're running the same things, and they're getting open.
By the way, just a quick Google search. Brian Callahan, over a couple of years, because if I recall correctly, he interviewed for head coaching jobs before his final season in Cincinnati, mm-hmm. before going back out there and being hired by the Titans. He was interviewed by the Colts. He was interviewed by the Chargers. He was interviewed by the Falcons. Of course, he was interviewed by the Titans. So there was interest in Brian Callahan. NFL teams had high opinions of Brian Callahan as OC in Cincinnati. So, yes, it hasn't worked out here, but it wasn't like the Titans went completely out of the box to hire Brian Callahan.
And let's take one of his mentors in Zach Taylor. I brought him up in the last hour. Were people in – because I can't answer this question, but I would imagine there were some rough-looking Sundays as Zach Taylor started off his career 2-14 in the first year, and then I think they were, what, something like 1-5. Let's see. They started the next year – 0-1, 0-2. They started the next year 1-5-1. Okay? So 2-14 the first year, 1-5-1 the next year. I would imagine with that record, there were probably some people in Bengal land mm-hmm. saying, hey, I don't know about this Zach Taylor.
Of course.
I mean, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it stands to reason. Jimmy Johnson in Dallas, who we mentioned, who was 2-18 in his first 20 games. I would imagine in Dallas there were some people going, hey, great college coach. Can he get it done in the NFL? I'm sure there were some questions being asked. Now, Jimmy Johnson was a big name because of what he had done at the U, right? So mm-hmm. he probably had that going for him. Zach Taylor, probably not. But they were patient enough in Cincinnati to wait and build the roster, and they got some dividends because of that. So I'm just curious about that. Brian Callahan doesn't have a lot of street cred coming in. He's kind of a no-name. He's young, and they're not having success, so he's not getting any benefit of the doubt because of that.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on Brian Callahan and the Tennessee Titans. Speaking of which, if you are going to the Titans-Colts game this Sunday, then you should stop by John Bon Jovi's before you head to Nissan Stadium. Enjoy 102.5 The Game for the pregame show with our very own Big Joe Dubin, our very own Derek Mason, and Chris Sanders from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. Just kidding. I love you, Chris. Just show up for silly underdog picks on time for once. The pregame show is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Old National Bank, Circa Sportsbook Kentucky, and Tennessee Brew Works.
Chad, you've talked a lot about patience that's coming in. How much is this offseason fit your vision at that time, and what are reasonable expectations for this team?
Yeah, nobody wants to hear that word, patience. I get that. But the reality is we understand where we are as a roster. We got a lot of work to do. And we're going to be relying on a lot of young players this season to carry this football team. And we need those veteran players as well to help those young players grow. So there will be some challenges, but I do want to see our football team improve from day to day to week, to where by the end of the season, you know, we'll see what we look like. And hopefully we're healthy. This is a game, it's a war of attrition. So you got to be healthy, and there's just a lot of work to do. So it's hard to really define, you know, if you're asking me what does success look like in 2025, you know, I think that's for you guys to write about. I just want to see this team get better. And we'll go through another, you know, season this year, acquisition, you know, where we got the first waiver claim. We're going to constantly be looking to upgrade this roster. You know, if guys aren't getting the job done, then we'll get guys in here that will. So the top of the roster is just as important as the bottom.
That was Chad Brinker at the start of training camp. And it's really that first part about patience. Nobody wants to hear that word, patience. But the Titans did the right thing this offseason by setting realistic expectations. They did not pretend that this team is built to compete. I appreciate that because it backfired on them a year ago. So I just want all of us to keep that in mind as you are thirsting for Brian Callahan's blood. I'm just going to stick with the blood today. That's the word of the day on the program.
I appreciate the callers and texters who have tried to make the case as to why you just have no confidence in where it's going. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's an important question to sift through what is just noise and frustration and what is really constructive to what's best for the Titans. I think you heard right there Chad Brinker, before they ever took a snap in practice, understand realistically where this roster is, that they've got a long way to go. And we can go through it. Number one, two of your best five long-range prospects, Devondre Sweat and J.C. Latham, have either not played or been compromised by injury while they played, right? Devondre Sweat missed most of training camp and then played most of the first game and got hurt again. J.C. Latham was playing hurt in the first game, was ineffective, then got hurt, and he's been out ever since. So those are, on a very thin roster, two of your top 5 to 7 prospects aren't even in the mix. You've got Calvin Ridley, who a lot of people like to use the price tag of Calvin Ridley and say, well, he should be good. But he was an overpaid guy in free agency because you have to overpay to get probably at the time the best wide receiver on the market. He's a good player, but because he's being paid X doesn't mean he's that level of a player. Same thing with Dan Moore. These are the things that get confused sometimes. Well, we're paying this guy all this money. He should be better. You hope he's better, but you got to realize who he is. You've got four fourth-round picks, Chig from a couple years ago, Gunnar Helm, DK, Io Manor. All those guys are fourth-round picks. They're nice players, but they're not guys that are going to move the needle. So you're looking at this is what you have to work with if you're Brian Callahan. So what is realistic? I heard Chad Brinker there before training camp started, kind of introducing, be realistic here, people. We're going to do the best we can. Let's see if we can develop some young players.
That's the goal for this season, and let's build around a young quarterback. And that's what's happened so far.
Yeah, it is. The young quarterback, you know, he's coming along at a pace that, you know, what we're hearing, you know, the feedback we're hearing is they like what they see. And that's not just the coaches, that's the fan base. That is even those that are looking from afar and from a national standpoint. They think, okay, the quarterback is going about as we expected. He's developing, still have some issues, but we believe he'll be just fine. There's a reason why, again, Brinker, Borgonzi, the whole, you know, patience, we're going to be patient, because the last regime made it seem like, oh, we're ready to go, boom, we're about to win now. So you told me where we're, what we were about to do. It's just like a kid. You tell a kid at 5 o'clock, well, at 8 o'clock in the morning, y'all going to the movies. So the kid is anticipating, oh, we're going to the movies. And then you say, we're not going to the movies. Now the kid disappointed, like, listen, you told us we're going to the movies. Now we're not. What's going on here? That's what the Titans did 2 years ago. They told everyone that this was a good team and we are playoff, basically playoff bound. And they were not. But what do you, I mean, in their eyes, they were saying, we believe. But the fan base was like, no, because we see. Y'all may believe, but we see that we don't. But this year was different. They came, okay, I see what they see. It's going to take some time. Patience. That was said so the coach would be able to filter through all the noise. Filter through all, because there's a lot of noise. That the noise is starting to drum up now. 8-9 games from now, if things are not better, then it's going to be really loud. So he's trying to tell him, even before the season starts, like, listen, this is a process. Development. We're worried about development. How is that court? And when you talk about development, it's really that quarterback. He wants everybody to develop. He do. And all the team. But it's really the quarterback. We need him to develop.
Willie, I want to get your thoughts on something that Derek and I talked about yesterday before you arrived for the show. Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated did a ranking of the 10 winless teams in the NFL and ranked them based on a panic meter.
Right.
And the Titans were, at least surprisingly for me, near the top of the list. I thought they would be near the bottom because I think a lot of people expected the Titans to be 0-2 when the season started. But only the Miami Dolphins had a higher panic score than the Tennessee Titans in Connor Orr's analysis. And there was something that he wrote that I found to be profound, and I would love to see if you agree, because I know you like to listen to Connor Orr and Albert Breer on the MMQB podcast. He writes, quote, about Callahan. Quote, however, Callahan has already publicly whiffed on knowing a rule that could have impacted a critical challenge. Tennessee is also second to last in the NFL in points in the second half, which is often a statistic associated with play callers and their ability to make adjustments. So while panic, in quotes, may be the wrong word here, there is indeed frustration. Now here's the line I want you to react to. And when there is frustration as it pertains to the development of the franchise's most important player, whose highlights are very individual at this point and not necessarily tied into the scheme, you can certainly say that there is a right to be concerned about the future.
And why do you think Eberflus got fired last year? Because, yeah, they saw those wild things, but he wasn't developing inside of the pocket. So they got rid of him. And if Callahan doesn't prove that he can develop Cam within the pocket, all those nice plays are fancy. They're great. And we like them. The fans like them. But the owner is looking and saying, nah, well, he's not. Well, the GM is like, he's not developing within the pocket, and that's what we need.
I think it's a very well-crafted paragraph from Connor Orr, and I do listen to his podcast every week with Albert Breer. I have not heard Albert Breer chime in with anything, because I think it's more of an observation from afar is how I see that from Connor Orr. And everything he's saying, there's no doubt that is the narrative here. But I would also say we're only talking about two games, and I just illustrated some of the hardships, especially on the offensive line, that they're trying to overcome. And I would say, let's be patient. Let's see how it looks after 5 weeks and 8 weeks and 12 weeks when they're not playing quite as much of the mismatch up front, particularly their offensive line without Latham versus two really good front fours. Let's see how it looks against the Colts. That's why I think this game is really important. I think we're going to get to that later in the show.
The Colts, by the way, have zero pass rush.
They have not won with pass rush.
Daniel not Jones so far. Has been slanging it. And Jonathan Taylor has been racking up tons of yards from scrimmage. But they have the lowest quarterback pressure rate in the NFL through two games.
Now they have played two teams that get rid of the ball quick. Tua gets rid of the ball quick.
And the Broncos.
Knicks does not take sacks. We've talked about these guys a lot. So it may look different. And if we're sitting here on Monday and the Colts have six sacks, then, despite my best arguments of be patient,
and
it's going to be tested.
I would not be surprised if they did.
No, I wouldn't either, especially if Latham doesn't play. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Owen quickly on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Owen, thank you for calling and waiting. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. My question for you is, I know, like you said, it's early, but if you're the GM or the owner and the season ended today, I've heard a lot of talk this week about firing Brian Callahan, but what do you think would be best for Cam Ward is if it was today? Do you think keeping Brian Callahan and not making him switch over to a new play caller and new system, or would you stick with him for another year? Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Owen. And I do want to point this out quickly. I heard Paul Kaharsky make this argument on Robbie and Rex Road, if not this week, last week. If the Titans fire Brian Callahan, his replacement is coming from within the building, right? Mm-hmm. It could be Bones Fossil. It could be Mike McCoy. It's going to be somebody who's already under contract with the Tennessee Titans. And as Paul pointed out, all of those guys are Brian Callahan guys. How much, if they were to fire Brian Callahan today and Mike McCoy becomes the interim Titans coach for the remainder of the season, how much different is the system going to be under Mike McCoy than it was under Brian Callahan?
You try not to make it that much different, but obviously different in the sense of how it will be called on Sunday. Yeah, it will be different. I'm pretty sure because we can be running the same offense and on the same coaching staff, but if I get elevated above you for whatever reason, I may call the game differently. It's the same plays, but I just call it differently. So.
What does the past tell us? The past tells us that you would do that, and then you would hire a totally new
hire
coach
somebody
in the
else,
offseason,
yeah.
John Gruden or whoever you know the sexy name is that's going to come in and rescue the team. And so now you've played for three different guys.
Yeah, I get that part.
And
yeah.
It's the same thing as the Bears. So to answer the question, there is a price to be paid when you pull the plug on the coach with a rookie quarterback when you know, if you're being truthful, that a huge amount of the problem is the roster. It is not the coach. It's the roster. Personnel.
615-737-1025. We will get to your reaction next. A reminder that tomorrow you can join us as we broadcast live from 3 to 6 p.m. at Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse as they celebrate the opening of their all-new rooftop dining area and bar. It's also a great place to go before the big Vanderbilt game this Saturday night. Our show, DVD, will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circuit Sportsbook Kentucky inside the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday night football game. Head up there and watch the Lions-Ravens game, plus ask about Circa's giveaway of a trip to Las Vegas for the Titans-Raiders game in October. We love heading up to Franklin, Kentucky, to the Circa Sportsbook. We will be there again on Monday. You should join us. And again, you can ask about the giveaway to win a trip to Las Vegas to see the Titans visit the Raiders next month. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, taking your thoughts on the status of Brian Callahan. Again, today's word is bloodlust, or the adverb that I created, bloodlusty.
I like bloodlusty.
Bloodlusty works too. And I was reminded as we were talking about this before the show, I was reminded of that long, wonderful feature, informative feature, that our friend Teron Davenport co-authored with Jeremy Fowler on ESPN.com before the season. And I went back and I read what they wrote about Brian Callahan. And that's what I'm going to do right now. Quote, there was consideration given to completely cleaning house and sending Callahan on his way along with Carthon. Multiple Titan sources confirmed Callahan and Carthon had a close relationship, and having the number one pick gave Tennessee an opportunity to bring in a new general manager, coach, and rookie quarterback at the same time. But the front office took an honest look at the talent on the roster and factored that into Callahan's record in his first season. The front office didn't lose sight of Callahan being one of the league's in-demand coaching candidates when the Titans hired him. With a quote from Chad Brinker, quote, "We wanted to give him," meaning Callahan, "that opportunity to grow as a head football coach. We felt like another year to grow into that, and we're going to need to see that growth. We believe in Brian, and we think he's going to get there, so that's why he was retained." Now, through two games, don't know if you've seen much growth. Wait, it is two games this season. I know you have the 17 last season, but as I just read, the Titans, when they were making the decision to keep him, what did I just read? The front office took an honest look at the talent on the roster and factored that into Callahan's record in his first season. So through two games, haven't really seen that much growth. But I just wanted to remind all of you what Teron Davenport and Jeremy Fowler reported before the start of the season.
I think that's a good reference point, and I would throw out too, they have not had Sweat. They have not had Latham on an already thin roster. Like, there are circumstances for why you haven't seen growth. And I will say, there's no doubt that he did not do himself any favors of the Iowa Manor non-challenge, and then how he handled that. That hurt his street cred a lot. And then the game management at the end of the first half, that hurt a lot. And not winning when you were plus three in the turnovers, that hurt a lot. So I agree that the first two games, the growth chart, if you were doing a chart, you don't. There's not a whole lot, right? You put the little Sharpie marker where you were at the end of last year. You haven't seen much since then. But it's early. It's early.
Yeah, it is.
Patience.
I mean, again,
patience is a virtue that cannot hurt you.
Yes, but I think, again, it's just me thinking about this. When they're describing growth, because if you look at it over the last 2 years, you've seen growth in Peter Skoronski. You've seen growth and J.C. Latham before the injury. You've seen, you know, your first year tight end. You know, he seems to be, he's made some tough catches. He should have brought another one in, but he seems to be developing how they want him to. Alec Allmanner seems to be, after two games, developing. DK is developing in the area that they have tasked him with, and that's the returner. Your return unit is getting better. So when you look at it from that standpoint, there is development.
There's things you can see if you look close.
And that's why I believe that, yes, in their mind, in Brinker, in Borgonzi, and they're only going to use that you know, gaff of not knowing the rules. They're only going to use that if they really want to fire him. If they just really want to fire him, that's just going to be an extra cherry on the top. Yeah, we'll throw that on there too because we want to fire him, make him look incompetent. They don't care about that. The stuff like that happens with challenges and stuff. Don't care about that. And some guys know the rules, and some guys just too honest. I'm sure there are more coaches that don't know a lot of these rules than there are that do. But the ones that don't, they ain't gonna come out and say what Brian Callahan said. They're not gonna be that honest. And Brian will find that out the longer he's in the position as a head coach. But getting back to my point,
it's the guy in the booth. Yeah. The guy in the booth that's charged with that. That's the
exactly
job of that guy.
That's why you hire other people. So, but back to what I was saying, it's about, because those guys are developing, I believe. It's about the quarterback, everybody. It's about Cam Ward. And if they see development in Cam Ward, the team is going to be – it's not going to be a good team. They already know that. This team is not going to be good. But if they see the development in a quarterback, can that quarterback get them an extra win or two? That's what we want to see. And if he does, that means the head coach slash play caller is developing him. We just need to get him a better roster. That's the way I look at it.
Okay. I'm going to make sure I think Brian – okay. Brian, this text is all over the place. but I'm going to attempt to read it. Brian says, all right, my mind's been changed. I was out on Callahan. But now let's say Cam has a five-year career, so let's sign Callahan for an extension so there's consistency with Cam, because we have to have consistency. Not. What year is this? 1995 with not jokes? Adam, this is one of those things that's triggered me, and my blood is boiling.
Yes.
Because Callahan is the main problem with this team. We've gone from bloodlust to blood boiling.
Listen, that's a form of lust.
Yeah.
It is a form of lust.
You don't.
Shackled by lust?
You
that's
don't
what one of the billboards says over here.
You don't give a head coach, you know, extra years if he's not winning, just because you figure, even if the quarterback is developing, just because you figure, okay, in year five, the quarterback could be great. So I'm going to say, no, you sign him to a contract, and as the contract comes up, if you see development in the quarterback, you see the team doing well, then you extend him to a contract. You just don't outright sign him to that if you don't feel that that is needed. Because, you know, if the team's doing well, the coach ain't going nowhere, especially, and I mean especially, if he has a quarterback, that coach ain't going nowhere.
Let's see here. My most concerning thing, according to the unnamed texter, my most concerning thing is the disturbing trend of not showing up in the second half, going all the way back to last season. They're a good first half team, and then after halftime, it's like a whole new team on the field. Is it lack of roster depth or coaching or a combination of both? Doesn't help Callahan that his predecessor basically made his name on doing more with a lack of talent.
Willie, what have you been saying for the last 4 years? This roster isn't what? The draft picks? And it's right. Just a lack of them. So
The whiffs on the draft, mm-hmm. and when you really look, and we've given some examples of how well some of these other teams have drafted, like Anthony Richardson was right now it's threatening to be a complete waste mm-hmm. of the fourth overall pick, possibly. It's the way it's going mm-hmm. right now. Maybe someday he'll bounce back and be of some value, but what you're not talking about right now, because they're getting pretty good quarterback play, some of the other guys that they have drafted have picked up the slack, and they've got a pretty decent roster. The Colts have drafted mm-hmm. pretty well. They just have not had the quarterback play. So the Rams, right? We talked about all the first-round picks that they have traded, not used, and yet they've still drafted really smart and good players. The Chiefs draft really low every year. How do they keep winning? They make really smart draft picks. They're getting guys. The Titans have drafted so poorly for so many years, it is catching up to them right now. And that catches up to you as the game goes along.
You don't have the horses to play. And that started
in...
Yeah.
It hits you in the fourth quarter.
Exactly. And that started in the last 2 years of Vrabel. Because those older guys started getting hurt, and those younger guys that were supposed to, you know, sort of push the older guys out or let them sort of bow out with grace, those guys were not being developed. So when we needed them to play, they couldn't hold up for a full four quarters. So even before Brian Callahan came here, the roster was telling you, we're not good at it. We can't hold up for four quarters. We just can't do it. More than likely, we'll play a good first half and be competitive. And then the second half, we just don't have enough horses to run the race of a 400-meter race. Just can't, or a mile race for horses, a mile race. We can run, you know, halfway, but we can't do the rest of the way.
Bob says, John Robinson screwed this up. Rand Carthon didn't fix anything. Brian Callahan walked into a bad situation. He isn't responsible, .. yet.
But he's not making it better. That's the thing. He's not making it
that's
better.
That's what he needs to be able to
exactly.
do.
Exactly. He needs to make it a little bit better.
But that goes back to the conversation we routinely have. How much better can he make this roster? This roster is devoid of talent, right?
Right.
So there's only I think we talked about this before the season. I think there was a ranking of the Titans overall talent or something like that, and it moved up a little bit, and we said, well, it couldn't really move up that much, right? Because the talent level on the team is suspect. I think if I'm remembering this right, if I'm not, just forget everything I just said, and David can cut it from the podcast, so none of you can ever hear it again. But my point is that there is a cap on how much I think any coach can get out of this roster. And it's a low cap. It's a low ceiling, whatever you want to call it. That's my point. I agree. I think Brian Callahan can do more to make this team better. But I think even at his absolute best, this team will only improve, incrementally.
It's not about him. Look at it from this standpoint. It's not about him. It's about him developing the quarterback. The quarterback's responsibility is to make the team better. Look at those teams we talked about. Whether it's, you brought up Kansas City, they developed Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes makes that team better. They have it. They've drafted well, but some those guys have been hurt. He hasn't had his weapons like he had in previous years, but that team still ends up being a playoff team. Why? Because the guys that they went out and got was a good collection of guys, but they're hurt now. But the quarterback, because of the way he's been developed, he's able to raise this team up. Look at those type of quarterbacks, whether it's Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. It's not about necessarily, again, it's not about the team developing a team, because that will take years. I need to develop the quarterback, because the quarterback can raise the team up, i.e. Tom Brady, i.e. Peyton Manning, Drew Brees. You elevate those, you develop those guys elevate the team. Why do you think they get paid so much?
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will continue to take your thoughts. Plus, how critical is the upcoming game against the Indianapolis Colts in terms of changing the narrative, changing the vibes around the Titans? We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Saturday's college football game of the week is Auburn versus Oklahoma at 2:30 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. It's presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com.